Well, if you only believe, all things are possible. You can ask me about that. Ever since I was blessed by God that way, it has not stopped. It is one blessing after another. Things that I used to struggle with for years, they're just happening. Because I have given up on my own. I have left it all up to Him. I am swimming in His grace. His love, His unconditional love and mercy has taken over. And I don't have to struggle. That's what Jesus died for. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, I bring you greetings from my wife. I've got a wife, you know. And I have two children. One boy, one girl. I'm missing them so much already. They're waiting for me. Thank God I'm going home. I still love you. I would have loved to stay longer, but I'm also missing them. I believe I will come back again soon. I don't know when, but I believe I'll come back soon. I love Pastor Walker. You know, he's one of those people who are lovable. People who don't really give anybody trouble. He's one of those people who are just, you just want to, what would you hate Pastor Walker for what? And I'm one of those who really fell in love with him. We used to drive long distances together while we were doing ministry in South Africa. We would get in the car and go all the way to Cape Town, just the two of us. And we would drive from Johannesburg to Beira, Mozambique, to do ministry there, Maputo, all over South Africa, Durban, Port Elizabeth, East London, Bloemfontein, Kimberley. We were doing a lot of conferences. So we know each other very well, and we got used to each other that way in ministry. This morning, I want to preach about the last hour grace. And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and start there. Are you blessed this morning? Praise God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And what? Seek ye the kingdom of God and what? No. Not and righteousness. And His righteousness. Don't leave the His out. Because that's what we used to do. Many years ago, that's the way I was taught as a Christian. Righteousness. Holiness. They used to stress it so much you feel guilty every Sunday. It's like you left holiness at home and you came to church. And it's like, next week you'll get the holiness today. Next week you leave it again at home, because when you come back to church, they are preaching to you about holiness, righteousness, what you are not doing enough. You are not praying enough. You are not evangelizing enough. You are not doing your job properly in the church. You are not the best usher. We used to try so hard because the emphasis was on our works. How much are you trying? How much are you doing? But here it says, His righteousness. Not your righteousness. His righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is grace right there for you. Once you focus on His righteousness, you relax. But if you focus on your righteousness, you struggle. In the kingdom today, we still have people who have one foot in the old covenant and one foot in the new covenant. And you wonder why they're struggling with Christianity. The two don't mix. He came to fulfill the law, and He brought a new covenant with better promises. Why would you want to hang on with the old when there's a new with better promises? Hallelujah. You know, remember the days of farm line telephones? You know, the big black telephone that we used to wind and wind and wind and hope somebody will answer, because sometimes you would wind forever and nobody's answering. It passes. They used to call it farm line, because everybody in the area, in the farms, anywhere, anybody who's connected to you, when you pick up the phone, they can also hear what you are saying. You know, while you're talking to the operator, before the operator picks up, it was ringing in everybody's house. So when you pick it up, they can also listen to what you are saying. And now we have cell phones. Why would you want to go back to that old technology when there's new technology? That's what people do. They go back to the old covenant, pick up what they want from the old covenant, come to the new covenant, pick up what they want in the new covenant, throw them in one pot and stir, make a stew of the old and the new covenant. And they wonder why this thing is so complicated. Now, there is a new covenant. Everybody is connected directly to God. Everybody has a built-in SIM card in your heart. You are connected directly. You don't have to go via the operator. It's not longer a long story. Everybody is connected directly to the Heavenly Father. The system is much better. It has been improved. Do you remember when Jesus came to the woman at the well, and he asked for water, and the story went, and then she says, "You and me, we have no dealings with each other. Because I'm a Samaritan, you are a Jew. Your fathers worship God in that mountain in Jerusalem. Our fathers worship here on this mountain." And Jesus says, "Woman, your theology is outdated. I am here to upgrade the system. Because from now on, worship is no longer about a geographical location. It's not about here, there. It has been changed. We have upgraded the system to a higher level. Today, Christianity is the highest form of worship there is on earth. Because if you look at our old covenant, all the other religions are imitating what we used to do in the old covenant. No, they still have all those things that we were having, the robes, all the material things, the water, the oil, there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. They still sacrifice. They sacrifice animals. They sacrifice all. They have candles. They have what have you. All what we were doing in the Old Covenant, they have now copied. And God says, "I'm going to upgrade the system. The system is going to be so much better that they won't be able to copy it and imitate it. Now, it is much better. We are now in the New Covenant. Things have changed." Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? The veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the ordinary place in the temple was torn from top to bottom to show that now the temple has moved. The holy temple is no longer here. It has moved. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you're moving around carrying a temple in you if you are born again. If you are not born again, we will register you today and you will also walk around carrying a temple. Hallelujah. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what the priest used to do in the temple now happens in you. You are connected in a way you can't believe. You are so well connected with heaven. And yet people talk to heaven or talk to God like it's far away. Maybe if I cry enough, maybe if I roll down and cry enough, maybe if I cry long enough, maybe he will hear me and answer my prayer. You are connected. He says, "I am the tree, I'm the true vine, you are the branches." Can you separate the tree from the branches? That's how you are connected to Christ. You are one thing. There's no separation between. In him we live and move and have our being. That's how it is. You are not. There's no separation between you and Christ. You are so connected, you cannot believe. And today we still have people, when they travel to Jerusalem, after they spend so much money on that ticket, they want to make it worthwhile. They will be calling on all the believers, those who want to send their prayers to Mount Sinai. "I am going to Jerusalem, please bring your papers or prayer requests. I'm going to present it to God on Mount..." Jesus said it is no longer about a geographical location. It's no longer about this mountain or that mountain or that mountain. It happens in your heart. immediately, automatically you're connected. It's quick. You know, some religions, you still have to bow down and face a certain direction before you pray. And God help you have a compass, because if you don't know true east, your prayer will not go through. Christianity is so quick that your prayer is so quick. If you are in a car accident and it's rolling, you are connected. You can make a prayer right there. You don't have to put a mat and face a certain direction. You are so connected, everything is quick. You're so wired, everything happens instantly, quickly. I love this way of worship. Hallelujah. I remember one time, I used to drive a Ford Sierra some years ago. And they used to tell me Ford can fly. And I thought it's a joke. It's not. They said they have found some XR6 on top of trees sometimes. And I was driving a Ford, and in those days, I was young and crazy. My normal speed was 160 kilometers per hour. That was normal. If I'm in a hurry, it starts from 180 to 200. You have seen the roads in South Africa. 200 is nothing. So one day I was doing 180 kilometers per hour. And I just felt like something is loose. The steering is not in control anymore. You turn it that way, it doesn't respond. And the car started to swerve that way. Then I turned it back. And then it came back. It was too much. Tried to bring it back. It was like, I'm just doing this. The steering is not doing anything. The next thing we see, we are flying. You know, we are in the air. You know, the freeways in Johannesburg, there's three lanes this side and there's trees in the middle of the road. And there's another three lanes on the other side. Those trees in the middle, we took them out with the roots as we were flying. And we landed on the other side of the freeway. There was no time to face east. There was no time to do religious prayers there. There was no time to do any rituals. There was no time to bring any candles or any oil or any cloth or any material. It was time to be connected like now in the new covenant. And I connected with my SIM card. The only thing I said was, Jesus. And we landed on the other side. And when we landed, when I came out, I had one little scratch here at the back. That was all. My friend who was sitting at the back, he was thrown out. It spit him in the air. And we saw him later coming walking. All of us were alive. The gentleman was sitting with me in the front. Didn't have the seat belt. Now he was sitting in the back seat. We were being rearranged, but that connection helped. We were all fine. Nothing wrong, nothing broken. We were all fine. One prayer, Jesus, and we were connected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love to be a Christian, to be a child of God? Okay, now when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's talking about His grace. Be established in grace. Because when you are established in His grace, all these things will be added unto you. Some people have been praying for years. For many years, they've never seen a prayer answered. Because all their prayers are focused on them. What I can do. How much I can fast. How much I can work in the church. How much me. I am trying. I can do this thing. I can do this thing. Shift the whole thing around. Focus on Him. And see what He can do for you. Forget about your works. Forget about your works. Focus on Him. And see what He can do for you. Hallelujah. Talking about that car that was given to me. Just after I was given that car, a friend of mine said something that shocked me. Because when you are in grace, you think all believers are in grace. But he asked me a question that baffled me. Because in the beginning of the year, you know, there's a lot of people who fast in the beginning of the year. It's a good thing, you know, prayer is a good thing. But sometimes it becomes law. And I don't like it when it becomes law. I want to fast when I want to fast. Not by law. I want to fast and enjoy the fast. not by law, not because I'm compelled to, not because other people are doing it and they want me to join it. So he was doing a 21-day fast, and it's amazing. It's always 3, 7, 21. You know, there's a certain number that is followed. I wonder why God never asked people to fast for 13 days. It has to be those numbers. But anyway, maybe it's prophetic, as they say. So he was fasting for 21 days. He asked me to join. I refused. How can a man of God refuse to join a fast? Yes, I refused. Because the Bible says each one is running a race. I don't want to arrive in heaven and I say, I finished the race. They say, which race? You were running somebody else's race. That was not your race. Next time somebody asks for prayer, find out what about what. Because some of you are staying hungry and you're stealing a lot of food during the day. Because you are doing it to please others. You feel hungry, you don't know the purpose of your fast, you start cheating. And the more you cheat, the more you feel condemned. And the more you feel condemned, the more you say, I'm not going to get my answer because I didn't fulfill this thing. So, he fasted for 21 days. You see, sometimes there could be somebody here in the church who has been called by God to be a prophet to the nations. God asks him, go to the mountain and fast for 40 days. Now you are dragging me. Maybe my race, I'm not a prophet. I am a lawyer. When you are spending 40 days on the mountain praying, I should be in the library for 40 days reading, studying, because I've got a test next week. I've got an exam. Now you are dragging me to the mountain. I'm going to write my test and fail. And you need me when you start your prophecies because I must work as a lawyer and support you in ministry with my money. Now you are dragging me to the mountain. I am failing. I will not be able to support you. Maybe you are a sportsman. Maybe you should play for Chipolo Ball. But now we are dragging you to the mountain. You are supposed to spend 40 days in the gym and in the soccer field, not on the mountain. That is your race. That's the race you are running. Now you are dragging me where my race is not. I am not discouraging prayer. Get me right, people. Prayer is good. Every believer should pray. Every believer should fast. But it's not a law. Hallelujah. I'm liberating some of you who are bound by things that don't need to. And you're not enjoying Christianity. You can pretend all you want, but you know what you are doing as law is never good. You feel like a prisoner when you do some of these things. Be free. The Bible says it was for freedom that we were saved. Hallelujah. Be free. You know, talking about all things will be added unto you. Do you know there are things that are additional? And people go out seeking additional things before they get the real thing. Before they get the real foundation of grace. They want what comes after grace. They don't really understand how you get established in Christ. They are not really rooted in Christ. They don't understand the unconditional love of God, the mercy of God. They don't understand the real foundation of Christianity. And they want all the additional things that comes with it. You see, there are two types of cars. There's a basic car and there's a luxury car. Basic car comes with nothing, no extras. No Mag wheels, no air conditioners, no electric windows, no electric mirrors, no warm seats, no reverse screens, nothing. That reverse sensors, they don't have all wipers on the lights and all those kind of things. It's just a basic thing. And you know, they work, those cars. They can take you from point A to point B, but they're just like a bicycle. A bicycle can also do that. But they don't have all these extra luxuries. But there is a car that comes loaded with all the extras. If you would go to the garage today and say, please, I would like to buy a stereo surround system with RDS, with Dolby, with the best, the ones they fit on those Mercedes-Benz, I would like that. say, where's your car standing? We want to fit you. You don't have a car, say. We cannot fit additional things on nothing. You must have the basic first. Then we can put those extras. He says, yeah, I want power steering. How much is power steering? But you don't have a car, say. Where are we going to put the powers? Those are just additional. You can cry all you want to God. You can spend any 100 days in the bush praying. If you don't have the foundation of grace and you don't understand the love that the Lord loves us with, you will struggle with simple things. Simple, simple things. You will struggle because you are doing everything in your own strength, not in His righteousness. In your own righteousness. And the problem with your own righteousness, the Bible, the laws, the Bible says, if you get 9 laws out of 10, you have failed. And you are trying in your righteousness because you are human. Each time you try, you miss out 2. And you say, oh my God, back to square one. You start again. You try, you try, you try, you try. Oh my God, back to square one. Well, I was talking about that friend of mine who was fasting. And then when I was given a car, because I'm established in grace. I don't do anything the hard way, the simpler way. Why should I use the old cell phone, the old telephone when there's a cell phone? So I go for the new and with better promises. So I went for grace. I relied on His grace. A car was given. I was not even praying for that car, to be honest with you. I was praying for a much smaller vehicle. That was a bonus from heaven. I was given an extra, extra nice car. So when I got it, I phoned my friend, hey, I've been blessed with a car. He said, how did that happen when you didn't join me in the fast? Can you imagine? Because according to many believe, you have to work for it. You see, when you work for something, it's not a gift, it's a salary. The Bible says God is a giver. We are going to read a lot about giving, 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 giving. You are busy buying, buying, buying what has already been given. Maybe that's the reason why Jesus has not come back yet. Because the whole thing is delaying. People are buying everything double, 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 double. It has already been paid for. We want to pay again for what has been paid for. Are we still together? Romans 8:32. Let's quickly go there. I feel good this morning. This is good news. Good news makes you feel good. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? A gift is a gift. You don't work for a gift. You don't qualify for a gift. A gift, in most times, it comes as a surprise. It's not something you plan for. It is a gift. You don't work. How can He not give us all things if He gave us His Son? Now, I was talking about extras just now. Let's say somebody calls you and say, I am giving you a big Mercedes-Benz, 500 SE and above. You know, those big ones with all the extras. I'm giving you my Mercedes-Benz. Come and pick it up. And when you arrive there, He sits there with you. He says, you know what? I said I'm giving you my Mercedes-Benz. Don't get me wrong, but all the extras are not free. You should pay for the extras. Do you want power steering with it? I want it, but I cannot. Okay, remove all those extra fan belts. He doesn't want power steering. Do you want the stereo? The surround system and everything. Of course I want. Can you afford it? It's an extra $800. Can you? Okay, remove the radio. Rip it off. You know these new cars. They build it in so much. If you remove it, the car looks ugly. Rip it off. We cannot afford it. Do you want warmed seats? You know, in winter, these nice cars. You sit. You come in and the seat is cold. You press the button, it becomes warm. Do you want that? Of course I want that. Oh, do you have the money? It will cost you another $500. No, I can't. Okay, take it out. Disconnect that system. And so on and so on and so on. Is that still a gift? How can you say you are giving someone a gift, but you are keeping all the extras? This is why the Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, with him, graciously, give us all things? How many of you know all is all? So why are you still working? Brothers, there's a price to pay. When Jesus paid the price on Calvary, he said it was finished. He didn't leave anything. But there's a lot of the things that were paid for, we still want to pay for today. But it has been paid for already. Hallelujah. I am not saying sit and do nothing in the kingdom. If you get that, you got me wrong. We have responsibilities in the kingdom. There's things we need to do. For the work of God to go on and for our own lives to go on, we will shut down if we don't do certain things. There are things we need to do. I'm talking about the wrong motives of doing things. Doing things to buy God's favor. Doing things to buy healing. Doing things to buy the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, I do a lot of crusades. I do even prison ministry. And we see thousands of prisoners getting born again in the prison. And we don't leave there until they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Prisoners. Some of them sentenced for 300 years in prison. It is amazing to see a guy like that speaking in tongues, tears running down his cheeks. You can see this gospel thing is working. If it can work with this guy, it can work with anybody. But try that with believers, to try and get them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It is a difficult task. In the prison, we get those guys praying so hard. When you want to go, they're still praying. Some are rolling on the floor. You try it with believers. It is so difficult. You know why? Believers have been told, unless you fast for 3 days, you cannot get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Unless they give you all sorts of works you must engage in to get these things that were given for free. That's why it is hard with, it's what they've been taught, if you're not reading the Bible enough, do you think you can speak into you? You cannot receive the gift of, you must read the whole New Testament at least to qualify for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And people struggle with things that are automatic, things that we should not battle with, they struggle with because they are relying on their own strength, on their own righteousness, on their own good works to get the things that God gave for free. Hallelujah. You see, giving life without oxygen, it's like you have given nothing. You gave somebody life, but you say, for every breath you take in, you pay. It's better not give me life if you're going to charge me for every breath I take. It's automatic. It goes with it. It goes with life. James 1:17, don't even go there. I'm going to go quick now. I realize our time is going. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You see, if you get a gift from a human being, you're not very secured. You think later on he will come back for a favor himself. Because people do that. They give you a gift to buy a favor from you. You get a gift from a poor person, you think he will get stranded and he will still come back to you to ask for a favor. You know, you are not so sure, but the Bible says the God we are serving does not change like shifting shadows. If he gives you, you are given. He will not change his mind about the gift that he has given you. Hallelujah. We work for salary, we receive a gift for free. You see, some people are bad receivers. You give them a gift, as soon as you give them a gift, they will be saying to you, brother, I am so thankful. I really appreciate what you have done for me. I will really make up for this. You know, you owe me one. I owe you one, okay? I really acknowledge what you did for me. I owe you one. Now they want to return a favor. It's like a mockery to the giver. If you start working for what I gave for free, you are really mocking me. Because I did that with all my heart. It's a gift. And we do it to our Heavenly Father. As soon as you get gifts, what else can I do, Father, to make up for this that you have given me? receive and say thank you and enjoy. Hallelujah. Learn to be a good receiver. Okay. I'm going to skip some of the things that I need to say because I want to cover some of the things that I didn't say in the first service, but they are important. Hallelujah. Things like salvation, healing, security, your protection, the Holy Ghost baptism, those things are for free. Everyone who is a believer is entitled. That's your birthright. As much as you are born again, you are a child of God, you should get those things. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 33, it says, "Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." We have all been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You don't have to be an apostle to be blessed. You don't have to be a prophet to be blessed. You know, some people say, "I understand you, pastors. You can pray for a car and get it. You can pay for big things because you're working for God. But me, I've got my job. You know, God blesses me through my job." If you believe your job is the Alpha and Omega of your family, that's it. That's what you're going to get. But believe there is more. Above your salary, there is grace. And if you don't stretch out and reach for that grace, you are missing out. Don't depend totally on your salary for your survival. If they fire you, what happens to you? After your salary, there is more. There is grace. Believe in that and you will receive it. Hallelujah. Now let's go to my main text, which we are going to end with. And that is in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 15. I want everybody to turn there because we're going to read together. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 15. While you're turning there, let's say you find a child on the street struggling. You know, these street kids who don't have no home, they have no money, they have no food, they are cold in the winter, they have no blankets. You pick one, you take him into your family, and you take care of him. Now he's comfortable, he's watching TV with your kids, he's eating 3 meals per day, he's enjoying life, he's very thankful. After 2, 3, 4 weeks down the line, you sit him down, you say, "Now we have shown you how good we can be. We've been good to you. But listen now, every day wake up 5 o'clock in the morning and prepare for those who are going to school and those who are going to work. Make breakfast, do some ironing. After we leave, clean all the dishes and clean the floors. And 11 o'clock, do the gardening. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, go to the post. And you line up the whole day with activities. And this poor kid is now working like a slave. Do you think you have done anything better by taking him off the street? It's worse than it was in the street. That's how other believers believe it is in the Lord. They think the Lord has taken us out of darkness into his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son, to be a slave for him. All our focus about serving God is how much I can work for him. How much I can work for him. How much I can work for him. Do you know there are principles and laws of God that are at work within you? You should be finding out how much he can work for you. When you go to the scriptures, you should be going there to find out what promises are there for you. What is there that is working for me? What free gifts are already there for me? What is there that can work in my own life? Because it's there. The Bible is full of it. Before you try and find out, what can I do for him? What can I do for him? What can I do? Receive and stop there. And you see what the Lord can do for you. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 20 verse 1 to 15 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning." Everybody say, "He went out early in the morning." You see, he did not sit there and let the people come to him. He went out looking for them. I'm going to explain that later. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard.
About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. You see, this master is just like, he just hates people who sit and do nothing. After he employs people, he goes later during the day, after the day is even gone. He finds people doing nothing. Are you doing nothing? Why not come work in my field? So he said to them also, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again on the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. He doesn't want people idling, loafing, doing nothing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. Now, work in those days was ending on the 12th hour. The 12th hour is 6 o'clock. So the 11th hour is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He went out with 1 hour of work left. He found others standing around and he says to them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? And they said, because no one has hired us. They answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Why were these people employed? Why were they employed? Why did he employ them? To work, to finish off the job that was, come on. 1 hour, what can you do in 1 hour? It's not because the landowner had so much outstanding jobs, so he was desperate for more people. What can you do in 1 hour? I mean, first you have to learn the job. And then, you see those guys who've been working the whole day from the morning, the first hour really they're fumbling around trying to find their rhythm, to learn the job, how it works. The second hour they're a little bit slow. The third hour now they're picking up speed. During the day now they're working very fast, very fast, very fast. Now, these guys who came the last hour really didn't do anything. Why did he call them? The answer is right there. The answer says, because nobody has hired us. So he hired them because they were not hired. So it was not about what he can get from their hard labor. It was what he can do for them. So these guys were just called to be blessed. Not to do anything really. They were called because the master was great. The master was good. The master had mercy. He had compassion. He wanted to treat them good. That's all. That's the reason why they were hired. Because no one has hired them. These guys didn't do anything the whole day. If nobody hires them, what are they going to eat this evening? So also you come and work on my field. Are we together so far? Verse 8 says, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going on to the first. Start with the last, the late comers. You know why he started with the late comers? He wanted those who came early to see what this payroll is about. This payroll is not how long you worked. This payroll is not about how experienced you are. This payroll is not about all the sweats you had during the day. This payroll really was about grace. This payroll was about mercy. And if they had seen that and learned from that, they too could have been treated by grace. But they didn't learn anything from that. He brought those ones first, see what this is about. These guys who came late, I'm giving them so much. Now look at this. Verse 9 says, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius, which was promised to everybody. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. And what is their grumbling? They say, this man who were hired last worked only 1 hour. They said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day. They start grumbling because these people are equal. You know, in the kingdom today, whatever we do, we begin to put classifications. We have levels. You know, I'm an usher. I sing in the choir. I'm in the church board. I am the pastor. I'm in the evangelist. I am the apostle. We have those levels. And when God starts blessing people, we want Him to bless according to those categories. Those classifications that we have, when God comes and He misallocates the blessing, we question Him. Why did you do that? Why did you bless him? This guy is new in this thing. He just came now. He got born again last week. Look what is happening to him. You see, the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. It says God hates the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know what happens when a backslider goes to the world, messes up really big, and you remain in the church faithful, tithing, cleaning the church, doing counseling, doing all the things, attending all the prayer meetings, doing everything that needs, and that guy is gone. 3 years down the line, he comes back to his senses, but he has already messed up big time in the world. He's got a couple of more children or the unwanted pregnancies and what have you. The poor sister comes back to the church. Now she is really condemned. You know how they treat you when you come back to the church after messing up? Christians don't want anything to do with you. So you are really in a humble position. You know, they take a long time to accept you again because they are better. They are in a better class. You get what I mean? You know, they treat you. It will take years. Some of you will never forgive you. But the Bible says when you are forgiven, all things have passed away. Everything has become, there is a guarantee. When God created a human being, He knew something could go wrong. And He made up, He catered for it. He says, you have an advocate. Jesus is your advocate. He speaks for you on your behalf. He knew something could go wrong and He employed a lawyer just for that. So there's no accidents. Everything has been catered for already. In case something goes wrong. How many of you buy a big thing from the shop like a flat screen TV and you walk out of the shop without a guarantee? Can you do that? What if something goes wrong? Now, why do you think God can make a human being without a guarantee in case something goes wrong? God thought of every possibility, everything that, in fact, He already knows because it already went wrong in the Garden of Eden. He knows what could go wrong. So this time He made provision for it. In case it goes wrong, this is what will happen. So a poor child of God comes back, he gets cleansed, totally cleansed. And some of you brothers in the church stop this thing that if you marry, you get a sister that is already having a child in the church. I'm not marrying that sister, she's already having a child. But she's saved, she's born again, she's washed clean. She, according in the eyes of God, she's as good as you. No, this woman who used to be a prostitute before she got born again. Who cares? She's washed by the blood of Jesus, the best detergent there is on earth. She is as clean as you are. That's what you see, but in heaven, that's not what they see. You and her, exactly. And those brothers who are saying, I don't marry a sister with a child, before they got born again, they did a lot of damage. They've got children all over the place. Some of them, they don't even know they have because they were not told. Now that they are born again, because they cannot, men don't get pregnant. Yeah, I'm born again. I'm a brand new man. I'm a special person. I'm a peculiar person. I need something special. Stop that attitude. It's all by grace that we are here. All the sisters in the house say amen. Give me an offering. Praise the Lord. What was I even talking about? You see, they said, these past people who came late, you made them equal to us. So that was the real issue. The real issue is not, okay, now that you have given them this amount, give us now better than them since we came earlier. It's no. Give them less. Why are you making them equal to us? Can you see what jealous people are like? Jealous people is not about how much better they want their life to be. In fact, some jealous people are comfortable until you catch up with them. Before you are equal to them, they don't have a problem. As soon as you catch up with them, now they don't like what they have. These guys were promised a denarius. And they are getting a denarius. They say, now, a denarius is no longer good enough because those people are in the same class with us. How come you give them what you have given us? I don't know about here, but in South Africa, especially in Nigeria, we have these guys called Oga. You know, these guys who are tycoons. You know, they've got money and they show off wherever they go with their monies. You know, they are peculiar. They are different from the rest. When they move into a club or into a beer hall or into, those drinking places, they sit in special places. They only mix with special people. They only buy expensive liquor. They don't smoke cigarettes. They smoke cigars. They are classy. Everything about them is different. And they have special girlfriends, not the common ones. Everything special about them. The most beautiful, they mix with those guys. Now, while they are enjoying that status, that we don't just drink any liquor, we drink label. No, brand names. We don't just drink anything. While they are doing that, the real tycoon walks into the club. The real one now. The one with money. He gets in, he sees all these guys who are trying to make them better. He says, how much is all the alcohol here in the beer hall? They tell him, he says, it is paid for. Everybody can drink. Enjoy yourself. Drink. Everybody, what do you want? Come get it. Come get it. Now those guys who were special, who had a superior attitude, who had a class, they are just like anybody else now. Anybody can drink anything. Their status has been tempered with. That is the reason why people hate you when you preach the message of grace. It's not about they're not aware that the message of grace is from the Bible. The problem is their status is tempered with. How can you make these things common? How can you make this thing available for everyone? It's just like Jesus rolls into a wedding and he's sitting there. They tell him the liquor is running. The wine is running out. And at that time, only the special people were now drinking because there's only a few glasses or two. Maybe the Pharisees, maybe the leaders of the Jewish people, the celebrities of the days. There were only few people who could still afford to have liquor. The rest of them, they were drinking water, H2O. And Jesus was told they have run out of wine. And Jesus turned water into wine. Wine became like water now. There was so much of it. All the special people were not special anymore. Some people do get mad when things become available for everybody. How can you make it available? That is grace, my brother. We cannot change it. Grace has come to all of us and we are enjoying it. If you don't like it, tough luck. But Jesus has given me also. Just by being born again, it's my birthright. Oh, I've got all these things. They should come to me as well. Hallelujah. God is good. I love Christianity. Yeah. This payroll is different. The people who came in the last hour, they've got the last hour grace that I'm talking about. Things that other people were struggling for a long time to get, in the last hour you can get them. You may think you are very late in your life. You may think people are ahead of you. But there is speed that he can put on your step to catch up with those who are ahead of you. I know this afternoon when they were announcing marriage, some sisters were saying, yeah, they always announce. And I always go to other people's weddings. What about my wedding? May God give you grace for a wedding. And may he also give you grace to find twins so that you can catch up with those who married 5 years before you. Hallelujah! God can boost your steps. While you're worrying that everybody left early, everybody's ahead of you, the good thing is they have worked longer than you. You roll in later, 1 hour to go. And God starts putting things in place. You find things are just working. They are working. Some of you sitting here, you are saying, The people I went to school with are millionaires now. For 10 years, I've been looking for a job. I don't have a job. These people have been working. They have a house, they have a car, they have a maid, they have this. I don't have nothing. For 10 years, I've been looking for a job. Instead of grumbling like these guys, believe in His grace. You know what I believe in this story? If these guys didn't go to the master to grumble, they went to praise Him. They, "Master, we have just seen what You did to those people who came late. You treated them with mercy. You gave them more than what they deserved. Oh, You're a wonderful man." Don't you think they could have got more if they took that attitude? Maybe not more money at that time, but more favor. Maybe they were going to come again tomorrow, but they were told, "Get out of this place. Take your denarius and go." Because of the attitude they have taken. Had they come to God with a different attitude, they could have found grace also. Instead of complaining, start worshiping. Start praising God. Start thanking Him for all the things that are in place spiritually, positionally. You've got everything there is to be found by a Christian. You have inherited everything that there is in the Bible promised. So start thanking God for all the promises. They are for you. They are free for you. But when you finally get it, it will be a boost. Your steps will be longer. You will be on the fast lane, overtaking all the time. Overtaking. You know why you'll be overtaking? Not because God hates those who came first. They have an attitude. And the Bible says, God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. So you are humble. You are coming with humility. You are already, you are in a very humble, you are overtaking, overtaking, overtaking. Before you know it, you'll be there before they arrive. I gave a story in the first service. I said, if you, as I'm finishing, if you were working for a company and they say all the managers go down to Johannesburg, South Africa, we have a convention there where everybody's going to do his own business presentation. We want to promote some of you, but you must present what you can do so that we can decide on that presentation. What can you do for this company? So everybody starts preparing during the week. You are preparing also. You want to be promoted. And the day arrives, everybody leaves to South Africa. And your car cannot go anywhere because the mechanic is under it trying to fix something. They go to Zimbabwe. They are going down, you know, and you are still struggling with your car. You phone them. Many hours later, you call them. "Where are you?" "We have just crossed Bait Bridge. We are in Messina now, going to Johannesburg." And you are thinking, "Oh no, I will never get this promotion." And then they call you from head office. They say, "We realize that you are still struggling with your car. You will not make it. And your presentation is tonight. Go to the airport right now. We have already booked everything. The plane is about to leave. Collect your boarding pass and jump into the plane. And come to South Africa." And then 2 hours later, you are in Johannesburg. These guys who left before you, they have 6 hours to drive from Messina to Johannesburg. By the time they arrive in Johannesburg, you are busy with your presentation. You have gone over it 3 times already, standing in the mirror of the hotel room, checking out how you're going to present this thing. And when they arrive there, you are much better than them because you have been given speed. You've been given a boost. I'm telling you, some of you sitting here will be given the anointing to overtake. God is setting you up for great things. Stop murmuring and complaining like these people. Start thanking God and see what God can do. You know, there are people in my area who've been working for years, who have bought cars they were supposed to pay off in 5 years. 5 years passed, they're still not paid off. They are still struggling with the installment. I was given a car for free. I could have complained and say, "My friends have cars, my friends have cars, my friends have cars." I didn't complain. And now I've overtaken all of them. I've got a debt-free car with free insurance. You know, I'm driving that car. I don't have to worry about anything. Those guys are still paying today. They went ahead of me. God will give you your own grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Yeah, when your friends came to Lusaka from your village, you remained there for an extra 5 years. By the time you came here, they had covered so much ground. Thank God they came early to put things in place for you. They've been working in the council to bring electricity to their houses, to bring water to their houses. They've been working hard for you. Now you are arriving in the last hour. God has given you last hour grace. And things are just going to fall in place. Don't worry about they were there before. How will I catch up? Come and you will see they've prepared for you already. They've done all the hard work for you. They've learned the job already. They're just going to tell you what they have learned. Come and rely on His grace and see what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? I am going to sing a song. And this song is specially for those who say, these good things you are talking about, you know, I wish I was also a child of God. You know, people are looking for titles all over the world. If you go to Nigeria today, there are so many titles. Many titles. People have they've exhausted all the spiritual titles. And after they won, a pastor, apostle, prophet, that's boring now. Doctor, professor, and so on and so on and so on and so on. Now there's a new title in Nigeria. I was there for 6 weeks. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, in Nigeria, if you are Muslim and you travel to Mecca, you come back with a title, Al-Haji, because you are a pilgrimage to Mecca. You come back with that title. Now the Christians have copied also. If you go to Jerusalem, when you come back, you come with a new title, JP. It means Jerusalem Pilgrimage. I'm not joking, it's serious. They put it in the business card, JP, Apostle Evangelist, so and so. People love titles. No wonder we have all these struggles for titles and classifications and stages and so on, because people love titles. Now you are sitting over there and you're saying, how can I enjoy these blessings? You know, there is a title which is good for everyone, which is automatic. It is called Child of God. Are you a child of God? Before you were an apostle, you were a child of God. Before you were a pastor, you were a child of God. Before you were whatever, a bishop, you were a child of God. That title, Child of God, comes along with all the extras. You cannot enjoy all the benefits, all the promises of Christ. They are yours because you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Now, there are people sitting here who are saying, Pastor, all these things you are talking about, unfortunately, I cannot enjoy because I don't know about this born-again experience. I'm not a child of God. I have tried this Christianity thing before. It never worked. I want you to try again. This time, don't rely on your own strength. Rely on His strength. You will find out it is possible. You can live a holy life here on earth by His strength, by His grace, by His righteousness. Today, you can walk here out of there a brand new man, a child of God. And it doesn't take much to become a child of God. It takes a decision and one short prayer, and your life will never be the same again. The Bible says, he that is in Christ is a brand new man. All things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. He takes out the old heart of flesh and bring in. The old heart of stone and bring in the new heart of flesh. I call that the spiritual operation. When somebody gets born again, something happens instantly. There is an operation happening. God will take out your old heart and bring in a spiritual heart. That will enable you to live a Christian life. So don't worry about how you're going to do this thing. Today, I'm going to pray for you to become a changed person, a Christian. Forget about all religion you have seen before. Forget about religious activities. Today, I'm going to connect you to heaven. You will be a child of God. By the time you live here, you will be having as much rights as all these people sitting here. Nobody will ever say they are better
because they are born again, because you will also be born again. Hallelujah. And the song asks a lot of questions. It says, is your name written in the book of life? And where will you spend your eternity? Special people that I was talking about. If you are not sure that your name is written in the book of life, probably it is not. And I'm going to make sure that you know that it is written in the book of life. When you are a child of God, we should be able to wake you up 3 o'clock in the morning and say, are you born again? Say, it's not a maybe or maybe it will be. When you know, you know. The Bible says the Spirit beareth witness with our own spirits that we are children of God. So today I want you to walk out with the assurance that you are a child of God. That your name is also written in the book of life. That there is a home for you. When Jesus left, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go up there to prepare a place for you. I want to make sure that you live this special life, this highest kind of life there is. If you are here today, you say, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I am battling with issues in my life. I want to be a better person. I want to be a child of God. Forget about religion. I want to be a child of God. If you want to be a child of God, I will pray with you. It takes one
very simple prayer. And after that prayer, you are no longer the same again. That's what we are going to do. I'm going to pray personally with you. Let's all close our eyes to pray so we can help such people who need that kind of help. If you are here today, you are not born again, you are not a child of God, maybe you are a backslider, maybe you have tried this thing before in your own strength, it didn't work, and today you want to come back to the Lord, you want to come back home, you want to receive Jesus as the Lord of your Savior, I'm going to pray with you right now as our eyes are closed. But just indicate with your hand wherever you are so I can pray with you. Show me with your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see. Hands are going up everywhere. If you are there and you still don't have your hand up, please do yourself a favor. I know some of you are saying, my friend is sitting next to me. What will he say? He is also sitting next to you wondering, what will you say? So both of you can go to hell because you are afraid of each other. Do yourself a favor and raise your hand so I can pray. I can acknowledge all those hands that are in the air. I can see them still going up. I'm giving you one more, a few seconds, so that we can start praying. Hallelujah. I see all those hands. I'm going to pray with you right now. All of you with your hands raised, please stand on your feet so I can pray with you. Quickly. With our eyes still closed, please stand up on your feet. Don't be ashamed. This is for your own good. You will never be the same from today onwards. There are so many people who have taken already a bold step to come to Christ. Join them, please, and do yourself a favor. Now I am here waiting for you. Come here so I can pray for you. Come quickly, come quickly. Encourage these people as they come. I want to pray with you right now. Hallelujah. God is good. God, encourage them some more. Encourage these people. We thank God for what is happening. Praise the Lord. God is good. Look at this, all these people coming home. Look at this harvest. Look what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise the Lord. I want to assure you, you have done the best thing you can ever do as a human being. You will never forget this day as long as you live. This is the beginning of new things. You are now entering a land of possibilities. All the things you used to struggle with, today you are a child of God. You can close your eyes, get into your room, lock your door, and talk to your Heavenly Father, and He will sort it out for you. Hallelujah. We are going to pray now. All the people in the church, please, let's help these people. Raise your hand as a sign of surrender and repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I surrender my life to you today. I come to you today. Lord, wash me clean. Change my life completely. I believe Jesus is the Lord. I believe He died and He rose on the third day so that I can be saved. Save me today. Change me completely. Make me a brand new person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Amen.